This week, I have my good friend and colleague, John Tarnoff, and we'll be discussing what I'm calling the 2022 Career Reality Check-In for the 50-plus crowd. Cue the music!
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies, listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers, and finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 251 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. This is the first episode of 2022, and I thought we'd start with a 2022 career reality check-in for the 50-plus crowd with John Tarnoff. Last year, we recorded a similar episode, and it was the most downloaded new episode for the year. I've had John on the podcast in episodes 232, 208, 152, and 120. John has been the most frequent guest on this podcast in the 5+ years I've been producing this podcast. I consider John Tarnoff to be a peer, colleague, and friend. John specializes in helping those in the second half of life reinvent themselves. In 2017, he published his book, Boomer Reinvention, How to Create Your Dream Career. Let me read you a snippet from his website. After my startup went bust, I decided to go back to school to earn a master's degree in spiritual psychology, a branch of behavioral psychology that focuses on self-responsibility and self-forgiveness as pathways to healing and change. I didn't think that I wanted to become a psychologist, but I hoped to learn more about myself and what my strengths and weaknesses were, and what lessons I needed to learn to move forward. Now, 15 years later, as a career coach, author, speaker, my mission is to support professionals over 50 to redefine, build, and sustain second-act careers beyond traditional retirement. I've created a more personal growth approach to career development versus the traditional HR skills-based paradigm, starting with the notion your ideal second-act career is already inside you. However, before we get to the episode, let's have a word from our sponsor, Career Pivot. The Career Pivot membership community continues to help the members who are participating in this project grow and thrive. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out to figure out what they want to do in the second half of life and then make it happen. Let's hear what Dean had to say about being part of the community.
First of all, just you never know. There's always just a little push over the line to get you started, right? So when I first joined the community, the idea then was I'm in this particular job. And I don't want to stay at this particular job for the rest of my life. And so whatever that push needs to be, it still needs to be there. And I need to try to figure out what that is. I can remember we were over the weeks that we've been doing community meetings, you know, people saying, hey, look, I could listen to your book, or I think you would do good at doing voice work. So that encouragement, I think that's been good from the community, is just to be able to talk to people, hear their opinions. I know that. For example, we were talking about the first book I did, and I remember, Mark, you were like, well, you know, some of the reading was a little monotone. And it was, you know, but it didn't hurt my feelings. I mean, I agree with you, right? I mean, it was my first book. It is what it is. And things like that are good to have, I think. And I think if somebody's looking to be a part of the community, that's one of the things they can look forward to with this.
I am recruiting new members for the next group. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor, please go to careerpivot.com/community. Now, on to my lively discussion with John Tarnoff. Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I have the real joy of having my buddy John Tarnoff on again. And last year, this time, we did a reality check for 2021, and I thought we'd do a reality check for 2022 this time.
Yeah, it's kind of deja vu all over again.
That's right. Well, this has been a strange year.
Every year these days. By the way, hi, Mark. Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be on your show and to be, this is kind of like our yearly Bob Hope, Bing Crosby kind of newsletter.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I guess people here on age demographic would know who Bing Crosby and...
Yeah, we used to watch them on TV when we were kids, right?
TV? Probably one with an antenna.
Yes. And a big 19-inch TV with that. Boy, those were huge.
That's right. Anyway, what has been your experience this year? And by the way, we are recording this on December 9th of 2021. So,
well, we were talking a little bit before you pushed record about the whipsaw effect and how we are continually in this volatile back and forth. And I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. And whether it's a new variant of the coronavirus, or it's going to be some new tropical disease, or something on the health front, or something on the climate front, or something on one of the other fronts that are bedeviling the serenity and the predictability of our lives, I think we're in this now kind of for the long haul.
I totally agree. Like we were talking, I said, you know, by July 4th, I went to a July 4th party inside.
Right.
And then by Labor Day, well, maybe this won't all go away and be back to normal. And then now here in December, we have the Omicron, whatever you want to, how you want to pronounce it. And the interesting one I'm finding is the fact that until we have predictability, I think the job market's going to stay pretty strange because companies don't hire full-time employees unless there's a certain level of certainty.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring this up because I think that as in so many aspects of life and business, the pandemic has been an accelerator. And trends that were kind of moving along at a certain pace before the pandemic all of a sudden picked up. Most notably, of course, is working from home and the whole idea of working remotely and this tap dance that companies did before the pandemic has now become a significant issue. And I think that we're seeing, you were asking me before what I'm seeing. One of the things that I'm seeing is a real ambivalence on the part of employers about how to accept or not accept remote work and a reluctance to get into the details of this and really figure it out and to really acknowledge the fact that the playing field has shifted, or the goalposts have shifted, and people want to work from home more, period. So stop saying it's back to work. Stop being categorical about it. Stop setting dates about when or when we will or won't return to the office, because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, A, because people really don't want to do it that way, and B, because, as you were saying before, Omicron, Thetacron, Zetacron, whatever is going to come down the pike and knock all this askew. Unpredictability is the new predictability.
Yeah, it's interesting. A year ago or a year and a half ago, I had on the podcast a good friend of mine who is a HR consultant. And he was saying, oh, yeah, they were all talking about trying to go back into the office. This was, you know, June, July, August of 2020. Right. But the problem was they were giving up all their lease space.
Right.
Right. And that hasn't changed. I know my brother, who's in New Jersey and works for a large financial technology company, and he's told them, oh, by the way, you make me go back in the office, I retire.
Right.
And what this company is doing is they're now saying they're building offices in consolidated spaces. And they're saying, okay, there's a gentleman in Austin who works for them, and they've told him, oh, you need to move to Dallas. Because that's where we're going to consolidate everything.
Right. And okay. And the rationale is because we're consolidating in Dallas.
I mean, IBM did this a few years ago. They said, okay, all you guys work remotely, you got to come in the office. And for people who weren't living someplace where there was an office, they said you had to move. Right. And I'm pretty sure IBM did that to get rid of people.
Yeah. Well, not to say too many things about your former employer, but they were bad actors for a good long while.
Yes. And so I'm suspecting that we're going to see some of that occur, as using this as a way to cull people out. I'm not sure.
Right. Well, but to their own detriment, though, not to the people's detriment, to the company's detriment. I think this is the other paradigm shift that I think is gone on with the Great Resignation. And I'm sure I'm not the only person in your circle or on your podcast who has or will say this, which is that this has been a wake-up call for employees, and it needs to be a wake-up call for employers that they no longer have the power that they had pre-pandemic over the livelihood of their employees. The playing field is leveling out, guys. And if you are sitting on top of 1,000, 5,000, 25,000 employees, if you don't pay more attention to how they want to work and to the lifestyle and the healthy relationship that these people that you're paying have with your enterprise, you're going to be in deep doo-doo. I don't know if you saw, this is very kind of current news to the time we're recording this broadcast, but a little bit of a meme this week was a guy who was a CEO of a mortgage company went on Zoom with 900 of his, I don't know, 4,500 employees. I mean, it was a not insignificant number of employees, and mass fired them on the Zoom call, and was so peremptory and so insensitive and so callous about it that it became a bit of a viral sensation this week. And heads up, guys, yep. Can't do it, right? Can't just be this impatient, imperious, ego-driven, autocratic, traditional leader and just fire a bunch of people on Zoom, because you can't be bothered to do it right. You can't be bothered to take their hearts into consideration. And do you think that people are going to come want to work for you after this? Do you think you're going to have, when you start to need to hire people back, do you think people are going to forget about this stupid mistake that you made in firing all these people? I don't think so. I think it's going to be a little bit hard for you to hire staff back. And by the way, for the people who have remained, you think they're having a pleasant time going to work at a company where they have now discovered that their CEO is, let's just say, an unpleasant, backwards thinking person? I don't know. Just saying.
Quick interruption. If you are enjoying this podcast, please rate it and review it on whatever podcast player you are using. And more importantly, would you mind telling a friend? Thanks, and back to the podcast episode. Yep. No, it, and I just read an Atlantic article about the Great Resignation. And the interesting one there, they say the resignation is very uneven. It's a lot of hospitality workers constantly moving back, moving around. But there's also the one of the significant areas that people have resigned is folks our age.
Right.
And the fact that our workforce participation rate has declined. And we're the one demographic that has left the workforce during the pandemic who has not come back.
Right.
And I have a great fear that a great number of those who have left, who have decided, well, I'm going to retire, can't really retire.
Exactly. I mean, you posted about this on LinkedIn, and I would encourage your listeners to look up those posts and the responses. This is a big worry. And I think that when I started seeing these headlines during the pandemic that older workers were retiring in more significant numbers. First of all, I think retirement in this instance is a misnomer. I think that they chose to withdraw from the workforce. But when you say retirement, the image that brings up is the image of someone who has an income.
Yep.
That
yep.
When you retire because you can retire, you have a pension, you have savings, whatever your lifestyle is covered. And that's what retirement is. That's what we think of retirement. We think of retirement as, you know, being able to just live your life without going to work because you can afford it. And that's not the case. People withdrew from the workforce because they were pushed out of jobs or they felt that things were going to go further south, that there was going to be more decline going on. And so they chose to withdraw as a defensive move. But it's, I think I was talking about this on your LinkedIn site. It's not too dissimilar from panic selling in the stock market. You know, when the stock market starts to go down, the first thing that you're supposed to do is not sell, you know, hold on. Hold on, because if it goes down, it's gonna go back up. If you sell now, you're gonna have to buy at the bottom. You're gonna lose money. Similarly, in your career, if you leave the workforce during a pandemic at a time of panic, it's gonna be harder for you to get back in when you realize that, oh my God, I need to work. I can't afford to spend the next 20 years. Living off a $100,000 retirement fund.
Let me ask you this. If someone left the workforce, has been out of work for a year or a year and a half or 2 years, and now suddenly saying, okay, I got to get back. I got to get back in the game.
Right.
What do you think they should do?
Great question. Well, they should. I'm not going to tell anybody to not look for a job in the traditional way. By all means, if you have a set of skills and experiences that are applicable in a particular industry, go for it. Find the open positions, apply to them. But I wouldn't get your hopes up about your chances of easily being hired into one of those jobs that you can do. I think that the reality is that if you have been out of work for a while and you are older, you are going to have to be more entrepreneurial. Whether you put out a shingle as a consultant or a freelancer, or whether you define a narrow value proposition based on the work that you have done previously that you can sell to a prospective employer, you're going to have to be more proactive about your career than you were taught to be back in the day when all we did was type up our resumes, compose a cover letter, and send them out to the jobs that we saw listed in the newspaper. You know, that's my message to everyone today, not just to older workers, but that's the way you get a job today. You don't do it through the front door. You have to go through your network. You have to go through the referral system because at the end of the day, 80% of jobs are filled through internal hires and referrals, not through job boards. And that is the most difficult habit that I work on people breaking in the job market. And it goes double if you have been out of the workforce for a period of time, if you have given up on finding a job, if you've crossed your arms and you have walked away because you're so frustrated. That's the moment that you need to actually redouble your efforts, re-engage with the process, go a little bit introspective, risk a little bit, and build your network back up.
Yeah, I think it's the last one that you just said was build your network back up, in the fact that so many of us have been so isolated. I know when I, this last May, when my wife and I went back to Austin to get vaccinated, and I had 26 coffee meetings in 28 days. And I found that my listening skills had deteriorated badly. Two, I had 8 of the 26 had been vaccinated for multiple months. They were, and I was the first person that they had met outside of their house in a year.
Right, right.
And I had this discussion with my buddy Tom Singer, who's a networking speaker. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Is you got to get back into the practice.
Yeah,
maybe that's right. Maybe it's go have one-on-one meetings with people you trust." You know who are vaccinated, you trust them. Mm-hmm. Then maybe you organize a small group meeting, again, of people you trust.
Yes.
Right? And start exercising those muscles again.
And you know, this is going to be transitory. I think we're the new normal is going to be living in a world where communicable disease is more prevalent and more accepted than it was before the pandemic. And whether it is the current coronavirus and all its variants or something else that comes down the pike, I think we have to be prepared for the fact that we are always going to be dealing with communicable diseases in our environment. And we're going to have to be more cautious, take more precautions, mask up a little bit more than we used to do. We never used to mask, right?
Right.
And we'll be out and we'll continue to socialize, and maybe we won't invite 50 people over to our house for the holidays, but maybe we'll do small gatherings of 10, and then we'll meet everyone at the skating rink for hot cocoa on Christmas Eve. Whatever. So I think we're going to adjust, but I think, yes, we're going to get back to the listening skills, the in-person, and I have to say, remote video conferencing ain't that bad when it comes to exercising your ability to communicate. And by the way, even before the pandemic, it was and still remains a great way to scale that communication with your network that you need to do. So, you want to be talking to people who are in other time zones, regardless of whether there's a pandemic going on or not. So your network, because everyone's so much more mobile, because businesses are so much more mobile, and because businesses, by the way, are hiring more freelance, much more entrepreneurial, they have to. It's a defensive posture for them to do so. You know, go remote. Schedule a couple of Zoom meetings with people every day, right, if you can. Spend more time working in your LinkedIn network, looking at your second level connections, the friends of friends, for people who might be interesting connections. I tell my clients to spend 30 minutes a day just sitting on their LinkedIn profile, catching up with news, commenting on articles, going into their contacts, making notes, building up their spreadsheets, and reaching out in friendly, open ways. See what happens.
Yeah, there's no question. In fact, I have a gentleman in my online community who's been, he quit his job in June, literally has spent the last 6 months just getting mentally healthy. Mm-hmm. And suddenly two offers popped in that he wasn't even looking.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And I claim a lot of it is as we get mentally healthy, because I know this pandemic and all this isolation has done a lot to us. And to a lot of folks, it's a matter of, okay, what's the self-care I need to do to get me back to where I want to be? And the answer is, yes, you have to do self-care.
Great point.
Right? I'm a guy. I don't like asking for help. I don't like asking for directions.
Right.
When I drive across Mexico, thank God for Ms. Google. But it's a matter of going, okay, I need to start, practicing my communication skills. I know when we were back up in Austin in October, I purposely scheduled a number of coffee meetings and practice my active listening skills.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's different. We're sitting here and I can see your head and I can see but learning to get back into reading body language, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so now the other area that I think that people need to focus on is reskilling, upskilling, because I know from my experience with my job club back in Austin, we knew that people who had been long-term unemployed, they had a decline in their skills. They got stale. And
yes.
So how do you upskill? How do you, get online? And the other piece I want to mention is the fact that I've been talking to a lot of job club leaders across the country. And one of the trends they've been seeing is a lot of people taking contract work. Now, I know a lot of the people who probably listen, I want a full-time job. No, just like you said, companies are hiring contractors and freelancers because they don't know what 3 months down the pike is going to look like.
Right. Well, it's funny, the grumpy person who wants to work full-time, there are a lot of limiting beliefs attached to that position. I would ask that person, Grumpy Charles or whatever his name might be in our little persona, so why do you want to work full-time? And he's probably going to say, well, I want a steady paycheck coming in every week. I want to know that I can take my vacation in July when I always take my vacation and blah, blah, blah. All this kind of steady state stuff that he just wants because that's the way it's always been. So I get that. But that ship has sailed. That world is gone. And in its place, however, is a world where there is a lot more stimulation, a lot more imagination, and a lot more opportunity to do more stuff that maybe you've never done, maybe you never knew you wanted to do, and never knew you could do. So I think this is an amazing opportunity for all of us to nurture our growth mindset and to look at the contract world as an opportunity to actually gain greater dominion over our careers. And I'll just tell you one kind of corollary story about that, which relates to the work that I've done in the past with grad students when I was co-running this grad program out here in LA. And coming out of this, it's a master's program, and kids are having a hard time getting their first job. And, it's a bell curve in any class. You've got the high achievers who go out there and they get the job right away. And then there's a good majority of the middle that, roll in and they get their jobs eventually and the offers start coming in. And then there are the laggards who are having a really hard time for whatever reason connecting. And I always would say to them, go temp. Go take a temp job, right? Sign up with the 5 or 6 temp agencies in your field and, get all dressed up and spick and span and go in there and get placed. Because what's going to happen is you're going to go around to all these companies and you're going to see how they operate. You're going to make connections. You're going to get some on-the-desk experience. And you're going to eventually land a permanent job at one of these companies. It may not be the one that you're at today. It may be the one that you were at last month that all of a sudden realizes, wait a minute, we have an opening. And hey, who was that kid who was in here on the reception desk 3 weeks ago? Get him or her back. And I would say that the same mindset applies to those of us who are older. When there's an opportunity for you to take a subset of what you do best and find opportunities on a solution providing basis, because this is what companies need. They don't need someone sitting there. They need someone solving something. So if you know what you solve for, that's your ticket. That's your pitch. So do that. And in the process of you solving that specific problem, maybe you solve it so well and they just love working with you. And by the way, you're mentoring their younger staff and you're giving them valuable strategy about other areas of their company or marketing or whatever. They may come back to you and say, hey, you know we brought you on a 3-month contract, but can we put you on a W-2?
The way I call this, it's called dating to get a job.
There you go.
Right? You're going out on dates. You're going out and trying. And while in there, you'll say, wow, this place is great. Oh, by the way, this place sucks. I don't want to be here.
Right. Right. Or, you know, I mean, not telling any tales out of school, but you may want to date a few companies at the same time because you're getting different things from different companies. And each company may use a different subset of your valuable skills. And you may enjoy the fact that you can do one thing for company A and another thing for company B. And maybe that fills up your week and pays you enough money. And you still have some time off to go fishing or play golf or hang out with the grandkids or whatever it is that you want to do. And that is a nice symbiotic setup. And you may find, Mr. Grumpy, I want a full-time job, that relationship with work is better for you at this stage than having a full-time job where you have to show up, you have to go to those boring meetings that you really don't want to go to, you have to do this, you have to do that. Instead, you're just doing what they need, which is what you love to do.
I've got several folks in my online community who are now building up portfolio careers. And they find this is so much more enjoyable because they get the variety and they can pick and choose. And that's one of the things I'm finding is at this point in life, I know it's important to me, is I want to work on what I want to work on. And my choice is far more important to me now than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah. You sound like a young millennial.
Well, actually, we probably have a lot in common now.
Well, that's my point, right? That the world today is much more freelance, that younger people are kind of hardwired to this idea of, I don't want to be stuck in a job that's going to just bore the hell out of me after 6 months. I've got more on the ball than that. Yep. So I want to have 3, 4, 5 different streams of income. I want to have this home-based Etsy business that I'm doing, and I do that on the weekends, and I do my own fulfillment, and I've got all the software and SaaS companies that are backing me up on that. And then I have a tutoring business on the side where I'm teaching kids to play guitar. And then I have this business that I go into, which is supposedly my full-time job. But I actually also have some clients on the side from that job. Yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. Interesting life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we are, for just about everybody, this pandemic has shook us up to say what's really important. And I know I've had several people in my online community who've quit their jobs because they're going, what I've been doing does not fulfill me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And so we start asking ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? And yep. Are there, it's kind of like years ago, I had a young man when I worked for IBM who was traveling way too much and was therefore drinking too much. And I said, well, tell your boss that you need to cut back on your travel. Oh, I can't do that. He'll say no. And I said, Oh, yes, you can. Now, there are ramifications of you traveling too much, continuing to travel too much, but you always can say no.
Right.
And right. Don't predict what they're going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my favorite books is Greg McKeown's book, Essentialism.
Essentialism. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other one that I want to bring up on this is, of course, the granddaddy of all this, which is the 4-hour work week. Because I think that is the first time that we actually saw down in print the idea that you need to focus on the productivity aspect of your job, not the time aspect of your job. And his advocacy in that book was educate your company as to the yield on your work, not on the time spent in your work. And if you can get them to understand that you're delivering the work that they need, it doesn't really matter how you do it, when you do it, or where you do it.
So we've been going for about half an hour here. So what do you think if we turn the time machine forward in a year, what do you think where we will be?
I think we will be not too dissimilar a place from where we are now. I think what will be perhaps strangely, ironically, meta-ly different is that we are going to be more in acceptance of how unpredictable and how unstable the world is. If anything, I hope we are more in acceptance of that, because if we go with the flow around volatility, it's going to allow us to be much more imaginative and proactive and solution-oriented around taking advantage of it. So that would be my hope, that we kind of get enthusiastic about Omicron, Zetacron, Thetacron, and in a way, get that off the front page, put it into section page 2B, section B, and focus more on, here's some innovative solutions that are coming off of the blockchain that are addressing some of these problems. So let's think about the future. Let's get really busy, really proactive about the future, getting ahead of our problems. And by the way, for the purposes of this conversation, doing this with an all hands on deck, all ages on deck, multi-generational workforce.
I agree with you. A year from now, I don't think it is going to be a whole lot better than it is now, but I'm hoping most of us have become more adaptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which comes with your point of being accepting of the fact that we are living in an uncertain world, and we get comfortable with that, and we kind of go with the flow. And once you reach that point, it becomes a lot easier. I know, you know, my wife and I moved here to Mexico. We bought a house. We've cut our expenses pretty dramatically, and I have made major mindset shifts in the last 2 years. And I've often said, if I had, you told me 5 years ago that I'd be living in Mexico with a very happy wife, I would have told you you were smoking something, and yes, you were inhaling. So the point there is, we can't predict the future. We can't focus on how things will be. All we can do is go with the flow, do what we need to do. And the more we are accepting of change and are willing to adapt, to a large extent, the happier we will be.
Amen. Amen, Mark Miller.
So let's leave it at that.
I like that place to leave. Right?
It's helpful. Yeah. I mean, if we learn to accept, you know, this goes back to a number of years ago where I learned I was traveling way too much. And I had 2 years where I didn't have a single successful business trip. I had all kinds of things go wrong. I learned to accept that I was not in control.
It's a major lesson.
right? I can't control the weather. I can't control when planes break down. I can't control when jet bridges break down. I'm not in control.
That's right.
Let it go.
Yep.
And I was a whole lot happier.
Yep. And be prepared. It's like, always have that book with you or that podcast recording or whatever it is to pass the time.
That's right.
Right.
So, John, it's great seeing you again. Hopefully, I'll see you.
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully not a year from now. Hopefully, we'll see each other before then. But absolutely, it's always great to be on your show, Mark. I think you do an amazing job for your community and for the older verse out there who need the encouragement and the support to forge ahead and to not withdraw from the workplace when things are looking iffy, but to reengage, stay active, stay earning, stay positive about the future.
So, John, thank you very much for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me on.
John and I are good friends and someone I greatly respect. 2022 will likely be, like 2021, and be unpredictable. If, and that's a big if, you're willing to be adaptable in this crazy world we live in, you'll likely be happier, healthier, and more prosperous. Once you give that a thought. Take a moment, go to careerpivot.com, sign up for the weekly Career Pivot Insights newsletter, which is sent out every Sunday. You'll get a weekly update on this podcast, white papers, and new blog posts. While there, do not forget to check out the Career Pivot community, which can be found at careerpivot.com/community. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll also find me on Twitter at Career Pivot. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-251. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and lots of other places that podcasts can be found. In fact, this podcast can be found on the Repurpose Your Career podcast channel on YouTube. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.